shouldn't be hard for even the children to look up the scripture for this morning service, the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Hear the word of the Lord from Spirit-inspired Apostle John, as given in this last chapter of the Bible. John writes, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And he said to me, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he to me, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without or outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him that hears say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies these things says, 'Surely I come quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." So far the reading of God's holy word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You find our text for this morning in verse 13 and verse 16. These words, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." We will think especially about the "and" in those verses. We will first now call upon the Lord in prayer, and because history has mentioned different matters of prayer, Ali Van E's mother in Holland is on her deathbed, and we want to remember her mother and the family here in this time. Jan and Gerda Westracht were married this week, and we pray for them and God's mercy and blessing on them in all their ways. We pray for Ben Van Driesten, who's recovering well from his emergency surgery last week. We pray for the Copperts, Harry and Alice, in their needs. They're both in the hospital. The Lord may remember them. Pray for your pastor as he ministers this day in Calgary. Let's call upon the Lord. Almighty and most holy, gracious, glorious God, how we have been privileged to come into the house of the Lord and to sing the praises of the Lord and to come under the reading of the holy word of God. We give thanks, O God, for the Bible. We are so accustomed to it, but what a precious book it is. We confess that we would never know Thee if we didn't have the Bible. We are so steeped in sin that the world around us, as beautiful as it is, as marvelous as nature is in all its revelation, it may tell us about there being a God, but it doesn't teach us about our sins and sinfulness and about the Savior and our great need of the Savior. And You've given us Your Word to make this all known to us. And we are so accustomed to the Word, but Lord, may we so prize the Word of God. We pray that the services will be blessed today, that the Word is more treasured by us than it has been. Even the one word that we will focus on this morning, the little word, and. We pray, O God, bless us in Your house. We have read the holy law of God, and we have said our sin is very great. We have sung that in response. And Lord, it's easy to say that, but may we each know that for ourselves. We may have our suits on. We may be not guilty before the law of the land. We don't go to jail. But Lord, may we know that we are sinful. And even in our best works, sin still cleaves to us. And how often we give in to sin too. Please, Lord, forgive us our sins. Please help us to be sorry for sin. Teach us to be truly repentant of sin. Keep us from being accustomed to sin. Keep us from excusing sin. May the law of God be blessed that we be convicted of sin. And that we say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We give thanks, O Lord, that You give the law, that we might be drawn to Christ. The law serves as a schoolmaster to Christ. Lord, we give thanks that the Lord Jesus came to be the Savior of sinners. Grant that for each one here, children, young people, older ones, that our trust and refuge may be in the Lord Jesus Christ. For how else can we be saved? Who else can deliver us from our condemnation? No one but Jesus. Please bless the word as it is brought today. Minister to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we confess we need the Holy Spirit in preaching and in listening. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit's ministry to open the word to us and to open us to the Word. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will minister here today. We don't deserve it, but we ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, we come too to pray for the congregation here. We give thanks for the consistory, and the pastor and elders and deacons, and for the whole congregation. Lord, bless this church, and remember this church in all their needs and cares. We give thanks that as part of worship, we may come in congregational prayer and remember the congregation in their needs. And there are way more needs than we know and can say. But Lord, we mentioned a few that were brought to our attention. We pray for Ali Benny's mother in the Netherlands as she is on her deathbed. Lord, grant her to know the comfort that's found with You and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And give strength and comfort to the family here, so far away from their loved one. And remember them in this time of need. Lord, help us to know the power of the gospel, which is giving comfort not only for this life, but even in the valley of the shadow of death. We give thanks, Lord, for the quick recovery of Ben Van Driesten from his emergency surgery last week. And Lord, help him to be thankful and help him to realize more also from this, the frailty of life and the necessity to be right with God. For we do not know when suddenly we may be taken away from this life. We pray, Lord, for the Cupperts, Harry and Alice. Lord, they've gone through a lot and You know all their needs. And we pray for them. Help them. Be their comforter, be their strength. Revive them again in thy mercy and goodness. Help them, Lord, as they look to thee for help. And when they sometimes maybe can't even find thee in the darkness or in the struggles and troubles, Lord, reach out thy hand to them, we pray, and lift them up out of the waters and out of the miry clay, and set them on the rock and establish their goings. We pray for Jan and Gerda Westrata. They were married this past week. Remember them, Lord. You know all the circumstances of that wedding and marriage, and we commit it all into thy fatherly hands, and bless them, Lord, in thy tender care. And remember all the family and all involved. And we ask, Lord, for your loving kindness and tender mercy also there. We pray for others, Lord, those not mentioned. We think of widows and widowers. We think of those who may be struggling with depression. We think too of those who may be battling with addictions or sin of different kinds. Lord, please give help against sin and resistance against the devil and strength to fight the good fight of faith. We pray now, bless us as congregation under the ministry of the word. Bless Pastor Eric as he ministers in Calgary. Make him a great blessing to the congregation there, we pray. And continue to help him in his ministry here, in his preaching and teaching ministry, and in his pastoral work. And strengthen him too, Lord, for all the duties in office. Strengthen all the consistory members. Lord, have mercy on your church across the world. We give thanks that as we worship together, we may know that there is a people across the world who are worshiping and who are your people. Please bless them wherever they are. Remember the persecuted church. Help them and strengthen them. How we can learn from them as they are content with so little. And through the persecution and sufferings, they are so focused. Oh God, we can learn from them. We confess we can so easily be distracted with all our liberties and all our abundance. Forgive us our lack of focus and help us to be focused and to learn even from the persecuted church to that end. Lord, we ask much, we deserve nothing, but we come in the name of the Lord Jesus and we ask, remember us for good, for his name's sake. Give strength from on high. Give blessing that we leave from here saying how good it was to be in the house of the Lord, among the people of the Lord, under the word of the Lord, to be led in the way of the Lord. There's no greater blessing. There's no greater privilege. What a mercy that we may be ministered to in this way. May we not take it for granted, but may we be humbled by it, and may we be taught through it, and may there be fruit in our life from it. Oh, we ask it all in Jesus' name alone. Amen. A fitting song after the preaching is Psalter 161. And we'll sing 1, 3, 4, 5, and 8 of 161. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, I never would have imagined my preaching on the subject I'm preaching on this morning. It was a while back that I had to make a sermon especially focused on the glory and the wonderfulness of Jesus Christ as only Savior of sinners. And of course, every sermon should be having this focus, but this particular service, that was really the focus in a very focused way, the glory and wonderfulness of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, to bring it out, maybe what I should do is preach on one of the names or titles of the Lord Jesus as given in the Bible. There are over 200 names and titles for Jesus in the Bible. And all his names and titles are descriptions of the Savior, who he is and what he's like. And all of them all together cannot fully describe and tell the glory and the beauty and the fullness of Jesus Christ as Savior of sinners. You know the text in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. who has set thy glory above the heavens. Well, as I was reading through the scriptures to find a name and a title to focus on, I came to Revelation 22. And as I was reading that, all of a sudden, the word "and" really stood out as so significant and precious indeed. Who is the Christ child whose birth, again, we especially hope to remember in next month? And who is Jesus, the suffering and ascended, resurrected Savior, whose life we remember every year, also following the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism and the Scriptures? Who is He? Jesus Christ, the Lord. Well, just listen to what we read in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 13 and 16. There we read, Jesus, as ascended and exalted Savior of sinners, saying to His church, and for all the world to know in all of history, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Well, now, we could think in detail on these 10 names for Jesus as found in these two verses, and give actually a 10 sermon series. But in this sermon, what I'd like to do with you is just focus instead on the word "and" in both verses, Revelation 22, verse 13 and 16. The "and" joining the two parts in the five couplets, just the "and" is far more precious than gold, if you and I only think it through with our mind and heart, and when we're trusting and following after Jesus, this Savior of sinners. With the little word "and," just as found in our two verses, five times even, the purpose of this sermon is to magnify the Savior of sinners before us. And in magnifying Christ, even with this one word "and," I pray God's people here be so encouraged and thankful in trusting and following the Savior. And that any not yet saved in this place this morning see most clearly what you are all missing when remaining unrepentant and unconverted to this God as revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior. The theme for this sermon is, as given in the bulletin, "and awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction." That this one word can speak such volumes is awesome. Our first point. When you think, first of all, that it's just a three-letter conjunction, both in English and in Greek and in Hebrew, actually. I'm sure children, young people, school, you learn English grammar, you learn about sentences made up of verbs, nouns, pronouns, adverbs, adjectives, prepositions, and conjunctions. The little word "and" is a conjunction. It's just a little word. So very common in everyday speech and writing, isn't it? In the Bible, it's found tens of thousands of times. At least 9,000 times in the New Testament, and way more than that in the Old Testament. "And" is just a conjunction word, meaning it is a little connecting word, linking one matter to another. But listen carefully now. There isn't one use of this conjunction "and" in the Holy Bible, as translated from the original, which isn't Holy Spirit inspired. Every "and" in the Bible, as written by the inspired authors of it, as given to us in the Bible, has meaning and purpose and relevance. You can't scratch out even one and rightly if that's what the text says as given by God Himself. And think now how awesome is each and in our text for this service. The little word and, five times, links two rich truths wonderfully, which if not linked, would make the two truths in each couplet, 10 altogether, most meaningless and without any gospel power and comfort for us. To see this, imagine if a baby is born and you couldn't say, as we most often can in God's goodness and mercy, "Oh, look at that little baby. That little baby boy or girl. See how he has arms and legs. He has eyes and ears. He has a nose and a mouth. He has five fingers and five toes on both his hands and feet." You hear in what I'm saying, the use of "and" in telling about the baby is bringing out what a healthy baby altogether God has given us. Praise the Lord. Or take instead a new place that you're looking at, or a vehicle that you're thinking to buy, or maybe a computer you are considering to purchase. You look at that house, or that truck, or that computer, and you say, "Wow, it has this, and this, and this, and that, and that, and that, besides, and this more, don't forget too, and, with the result that you're totally drawn and attracted. When you add it all up, all the ands all together. There's no doubt, if you could buy that house, or that truck, or that computer, what a great purchase, what a good deal you are making. Well now, dear congregation, with Jesus the Savior, what our text is saying in the same way is, just with that little word "and," consider how great He is. It's proclaiming to us, that little word "and," it's proclaiming to us loud and clear, what a complete and whole, indeed perfect and total Savior for sinners like us God has given. In His mercy for sinners like us. When the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son to become Emmanuel, God with us, Son of God and Son of Man. And listen, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the root and offspring of David. He's the bright and morning star. In reflecting on these five ands, in these five couplets given in the last chapter of Revelation, it almost seems like, as the New Testament is about to close, that God by the Holy Spirit wants to give us yet, like, you know, in a fireworks evening, in a fireworks display, before it's ended, you get a climax. You get one more climactic, dazzling gospel display here in the Scriptures about Jesus. Before Scripture closes, with flash after flash, one after another, all joined together to have us see and behold Christ Jesus in all His beauty and worth as Savior of sinners. There's a big difference, though, between this closing, this climax, and that of a fireworks display. When you have a fireworks display and the last climactic showing of flash after flash, afterwards it's all dark and there's only smoke left. But this closing of Scripture leaves eternal light in a world of darkness, everlasting hope in a world of misery. Let's think it through some more. Imagine if any of the five couplets now of our text, if there wasn't this conjunction "and." Are you okay with a Savior who is Alpha but not Omega? Beginning but not end? First but not last? Root of David but not offspring of David? Bright star but not morning star? No way, said the true child of God, who knows something of how great his or her sins and miseries are by nature. I need a complete Savior. I need a total Savior in every way, or being truly saved and having real and eternal peace in my heart, in life and death, is just not possible. Indeed, doesn't the true Christian even come to learn and see my salvation and my hope and comfort for this life and life eternal lies actually, yes, in the "and" in each of these couplets? Your and my salvation is only possible for us and has any real meaning and sense and comfort exactly because of the "and" in each and all of these five couplets, as shown us now in Revelation 22 as Scripture closes. Does this make sense to you now, dear congregation? Thinking of the word "and" and looking to ourselves, I thought of how we can be and are so often anxious, needy, and despairing, just using the first letters of the word "and". But with the "and" in our text, we truly find and have an awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction, providing great salvation, hope, and comfort, and help for us, for whoever trusts and follows Jesus Christ. Notice how five times with "and" God is saying to us, to you and to me, as he did to John's audience in his day. He's saying, as he closes off the Bible, with Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Exalted One now in heaven, with him we have a complete Savior in all our needs. God is saying, as he closes the Bible, with my Son, Jesus, regardless how sinful you are in yourself, no matter your failures, no matter your remaining struggles and challenges, with him, as described in our text, with these five "ands", you have the Savior that covers your every need. Regardless how sinful you are in yourself, and no matter your failures and your remaining struggles and challenges, hang on to this "and", this gospel conjunction "and" in our text, and you will not be put to shame. Maybe there's this morning here someone among us or more really downhearted and discouraged with himself or herself, with your circumstances in this fallen, miserable world, with your own sins and shortcomings. There's so many problems in life. There's so many hurting people. So many struggles in family life, in marriage, in church life. So many needs. Perhaps you too don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel of problems and trials and sorrows and struggles and battles and disappointments and hardships and anxieties. And you find yourself to be in those needs and you wonder, how can I ever get relief? How can I ever get help? Or you think of your family and you wonder, how is there ever hope? Oh, can I point you to Jesus, as described in our text, even just with this fivefold "and", to lift up your spirit, to revive and renew faith in Christ as revealed in our gospel word, to bring light in your darkness, hope in your miseries, comfort in your sorrows, whatever they be. The "and" in the text is given five times, at least, in our two verses from Revelation 22. It's an awesome gospel conjunction. It's awesome. But to see that more clearly, let's move to our second point, showing it to be most noteworthy. Noteworthy. And to drive home how noteworthy and richly significant is this gospel conjunction, and let me mention another couplet, with the word "and" in between, that really brings it out as well, which shows the significance of this conjunction "and." Also in the five couplets of our text, I'm thinking here of what we read in Hebrews 12. You know the verses perhaps, where the inspired writer of Hebrews exhorts struggling believers in his day to endure, to run with endurance the race set before us, meaning keep on, keeping on, ever looking to Jesus in the fight of faith, in the good run, in the race. And then he says, how do you keep on? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You could translate that phrase, author and finisher, as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or the originator and the completer of our faith. In other words, dear congregation, whatever the exact terms you might use, the summary divinely inspired teaching is that the whole of our salvation, from start to finish, is dependent on Christ, is centered on Him. It revolves around Him, is found all in Him, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Oh, there you have another "and" that I just mentioned. Did you get it? An "and" to commemorate and to celebrate as confessing Christians. Did you hear it? Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Just imagine if Jesus was only crucified Savior, but not risen Savior. He'd be no Savior. Then says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, all our faith would be vain, and salvation from sin, and escape from hell forever hopeless for everyone, including you and me. But listen, Jesus is the crucified and risen Savior. He came and He suffered in the way of active obedience and passive obedience. It means He paid the punishment for sin and He lived the righteous life we can't live. So He did everything. He did everything for us in our sin and misery, because we can't do anything of ourselves. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the crucified and risen Savior. We read in Zechariah 9 verse 9, the Lord is just and having salvation for people like us in and through His Son. And this is what the "and" in the five couplets is saying in each case now in Revelation 22. Do you hear this most precious, reliable, solid, ever gracious, comforting gospel for all who trust and follow Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord? Yes, just in the awesome, noteworthy gospel conjunction "and." What our text says is Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. When it says that, it's using, I think most of you know this, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Sometimes it's found on pulpits, the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. And it's declaring Jesus is the whole of our salvation in every way, for always. He's the Alpha and Omega and everything in between. The key, therefore, to being saved and remaining saved and being fruitful, joyful believers is always looking to the Savior and clinging to Him and staying with Him and ever trusting and following Him, Jesus Christ, as revealed in His Word. In Christian worship today, how good and God-honoring, beloved, when you and I may be, for a first time or afresh, drawn to Christ and to acknowledge Him for His perfect saving work as crucified and risen Savior of sinners, as you're my only refuge and most wonderful hope and comfort. In Him, Redemption is accomplished and applied. There's a book, famous book, by John Murray called Redemption, Accomplished and Applied. Very worthwhile reading. It's accomplished in Christ. It's applied from Christ through His Spirit and Word. Looking away from self to Christ the Savior. This is the gospel message. We find all we need for our whole salvation from beginning to end. So don't be discouraged now. Jesus is the and Savior of the five couplets in our text. For undeserving, unreliable, still struggling, and yet so sinful people as you and me, even as confessing Christians. Looking away from self to Christ the Savior, this is the gospel message. You find in Him everything. Everything you need. Don't be discouraged now then. Don't be anxious and needy, distressed people. For Jesus is the Savior for all who call on Him in repentance and faith. And He calls all to come to Him. We read it in this chapter. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus, the gracious and glorious Savior of sinners, the most faithful, everlasting Savior, who never quits or stops in His saving work. He works in a way, in a beginning and ending way, in a first and last way. In other words, Jesus is the Savior for repentant, believing people of God who have nothing to offer from themselves but their failures and their shortcomings and their sins and their inconsistencies and their remaining sins and sinfulness and miseries. Can you offer any more than that to God? I can't. As Moses' rod would become a serpent, swallowed up victoriously all the serpents of Pharaoh's magicians, so the and in our two verses in Revelation 22 can surely swallow up every sin and objection from you and me unto our complete salvation. The gospel is in and with Christ. There is plenteous redemption accomplished and applied. Through His ministry, through His saving work on the cross, and through His ministry by His Spirit and Word, we are covered. Even for as many as entrust themselves to Him, Jesus Christ, the Savior. Our numberless ands and buts that could prevent us from becoming saved and from being saved and from staying saved are infinitely outnumbered just with these five gospel ands only in Revelation 22 verse 13 and 16. Let sinners come to Jesus for a first time and for all time and you will never be put to shame. Our two texts for this service proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt with the little word and. Also that Jesus is the root and offspring of David. If He was only the root, He would never have come. And the gospel of salvation for sinners like us would never be accomplished. Nor any gospel promises fulfilled. But what did the angel Gabriel say to Mary when announcing to her that she would be the chosen mother of the Christ child? Luke 1, 32, 33. We read there that angel Gabriel says to Mary about the baby to be born in her womb. Listen, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Oh, and that Jesus is the bright and morning star is so great too. Consider if He was just a bright star in the sky in the night. Only that. That wouldn't be sufficient. He's not just a bright star in the sky in the night. But He's the star at daybreak. Promising a new day. I read this week about Maybe you did too, about a flashing light over Finland. 5 seconds in the night. Some star, meteorite. And then it was over. But Jesus, is not just a bright star in the night for a while. He's also the morning star, promising a new and eternal day. For sure. He's the day spring from on high, says the Bible. In the world to come, God's people, you know, will have no night. All will be light there, forever light, with no more oppressive or fearful darkness ever again. He's the bright and morning star. Isn't this beautiful, bountiful, blessed, good news? Wonderful gospel? Isn't it amazing what a little conjunction as part of God's holy, inspired word can teach and declare to us in Jesus' name? It is these five ands in our text that proclaim and promise to us in Christ. We find an altogether gracious, glorious Savior. The exact Savior you and I need. Are you trusting this Savior today to be your Savior? Truly trusting Him means coming to Him, doesn't it? And confessing your sins, your miserable sins and sinfulness, and acknowledging Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer, as the only Savior, the only one truly anointed and capable and powerful and proven to save, to redeem sinners. Even a sinner like you and like me. When you struggle in the faith and you feel so unworthy in yourself, so guilty and corrupt, you find yourself still doing what you don't want to do and you struggle, doing wrong even against your own will. Say, oh Lord, will I ever be what I should be? Your salvation isn't dependent on you being what you should be. It's dependent on our Savior being what He is. Hold on to the ands. All five of them in our text. And be encouraged in the faith. Alas, when people won't look to the Savior and instead continue to live in unbelief, without turning from sin and not going to the Lord Jesus, pleading His mercy and grace and saving help. What is the hope for such? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Another and in the Bible. We read it in Mark 8 verse 36. Is that the and? Find me to summarize your life, anyone here? You lived on earth. And then left all behind and perished forever in hell. Proverbs 29 verse 1 reads and states most fearfully, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think of it. You are unbelieving, refusing to hear and obey the gospel. And so you live and die? Will you so live and die? That means you will live a life of endless regrets and then perish in your sins and meet God and eternity under His judgment without remedy forever. And without remedy. Those are awful words. Think them through. In Luke 13, 28, speaking of hell, Jesus says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And you yourselves thrust out. You see what the Bible does here, what God's doing? He's urging so urgently, so earnestly to all to repent of sin and to believe the gospel and to trust and follow the Savior while it is yet the day of grace. Will anyone among us this morning really despise and discount God's word and His gospel call to you still and perish forever in your sins and sinfulness and discover what a fool you have been? Let it not be so. But that even our two texts, with its five couplets, joining two tremendous realities with most awesome, noteworthy gospel ends, just so speaks to you now, like never before even. I've been reading a book this week by a man who was a devout Muslim and became a devoted Christian. His name is Nabil Qureshi. He just died a couple months ago at the age of 34. He was a Christian apologist. The Lord took him away. But he wrote a book. He wrote several books. But one of the books he wrote is entitled Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And he says in that book, quote, "There's nothing like the one true God as revealed in Jesus Christ. If I had known just how boundless is the love of God, just how transformative His grace and mercy, just how liberating His exemplary life and death, I would have run to Him years sooner with all my life. Jesus came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly." I ask you, some of you were raised in Reformed churches with the Holy Bible. Here was a man raised as a devout Muslim, and he learned about Jesus from the Bible, and he fled to Christ. Why is it that some of you, raised with the Bible, raised under the gospel preaching, still are not fleeing to Christ? Still are sitting back and not trusting Him as your only Savior and Lord? Oh, how wonderful if God, even today, here saves a sinner through the little conjunction "and" in His Word. And how wonderful when the Lord, by His Spirit, will also build up His people in the Christian faith through these five "and" conjunctions in our text. Just these five "ands" in our text, even as found in the last book of the Bible, addressed to Christians, many of whom were persecuted for the faith in John's day. These "ands" are surely given, aren't they? Also very much to strengthen and to encourage God's people in the way of Christian faith and faithfulness before Him, living by His Word, and that we be excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we come to our third point. And notice how delightful is this gospel conjunction "and" in our text. It's so delightful. Because if you understand the gospel just in this five-fold conjunction "and" in these two verses, you know what? It helps you understand and see the unsearchable riches of Christ as only Savior and Lord, as made known to us in the whole Bible. There's nothing more Jesus could have done to save sinners like us. And there's nothing more that needs to be done to save sinners like us. Yes, that's the gospel truth. Redemption accomplished and applied is found in Him. Go to Him. And the more you think of it, if you grasp in faith the five "ands" in our text, you know what? The whole of Scripture opens up with so much more meaning and power, and giving God's people endless reasons even to skip for joy. And here let me give you some text references to bring this out. Take for instance 1 John 1 verse 9. We read that, "If we confess our sins to God as revealed in Christ," if we confess our sins, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And what about this text? "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." What about this verse from Acts 5? You may say, "Well, I struggle. I mean, I can't just repent and believe." Listen, The God of our father, says Peter, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. For to give what? For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. Each "and" in that verse is powerful. What about 2 Peter 1 verse 2a, where we read this word of blessing, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." What about Psalm 23 verse 6? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What about 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 to 31? "But of him that is of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." What about Psalm 147 verse 3, where we read about the Lord, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." What about Psalm 86 verse 5, where the psalmist testifies, "Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." What about Isaiah 45 verse 22, where God earnestly calls out to all, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." What about Psalm 103 verse 8, where David says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." What about texts like, "Resist the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to him, and he," that is the Lord, "draw nigh to the Lord, and he will draw nigh to you. Turn unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." So many texts I could mention. I could go on and on, telling the beauty and the glory and the power and the riches of the gospel, just taking note of the little word "and" in text after text. In preparing for the sermon this morning, I read Isaiah 53. You read it yourself. You'll find precious "ands" in that chapter that will melt your heart. Maybe a good challenge for you between churches, or some other time, but why not between church? The Lord's Day is given for us to rest and to think on the things of God. Maybe look up the scriptures and find for yourself a verse, a verse with a precious "and" in it, and share it with family and friends. Challenge each other to find the text with an "and" in it that really speaks to you too. With this challenge, I think just of what we read in Psalm 34 verse 3. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us glorify his name together." If Bible reading is getting boring or stale for you, pay attention to the conjunction "and." And under God's blessing, you will be surprised how it opens up the scriptures and can so warm your heart and thrill your soul. Ask yourself every time, without the "and," how there would be no gospel. But how with the "and," as revealed in Christ, how with that conjunction "and," it so brings out the precious, powerful, wonderful, good news of the gospel for sinners like us. Jesus come to this earth for to seek and to save sinners. So we are told in Luke 19 verse 10. You see, just imagine, there's another beautiful "and." Just imagine if Jesus only came to seek sinners. Then who could be saved? Or if he only came to save sinners, but not to seek sinners, who then would be saved? But he came to seek and to save. And he's ministering now to seek and to save. It's another beautiful, powerful "and" in the scriptures, Luke 19 verse 10. And you find it all throughout the Bible. My point is, read your Bible, paying attention to the little conjunction "and." And you will find in many thousands of cases, there is reason to pause and to praise the Lord for His "ands" in the Bible. So often being indeed an awesome, noteworthy, delightful, gospel conjunction. Having heard God's gospel word now, will you rely on Christ? And will you continue to trust and follow Him in humble thankfulness, going on your way rejoicing in the Savior with heart and lip sincere? Rejoicing, yes, with exceeding joy for Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, the true and living Savior, the crucified and risen Savior, who says of Himself, "For all who will hear, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, my minister, that is, to testify to you these things in the churches." Indeed, with word and sacrament, we may hear it and see it and taste it. Can we not? May we not? And that in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What a blessed Savior God, triune Savior God, covenant-keeping God. Oh, don't you agree? Isn't this a gospel so endlessly gracious and glorious and very comforting and exciting? And that for sinful people like ourselves. And that for body and soul, in life and death, for now and forevermore. How come I never preached on this awesome, noteworthy, delightful gospel conjunction before? I never saw it. There's so much we don't see. So we should always pray, open the scriptures to us. And open us to the scriptures. May God so bless the word also this morning. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 161. And I'd like you to pay attention to the "ands." In fact, you can pay attention to all the "ands" in the whole morning service songs, but especially also this song, Psalter 161, 1, 3, 4, 5, and 8. strength. Great and glorious triune God, Father in heaven who has planned salvation, Savior exalted who has accomplished salvation, and Spirit comforter who applies salvation, thank you for being a total Savior God, and for the ands in Scripture which make it so clear. Lord, let it not leave any one of us unconverted, unsaved, but that we all find our refuge in you, even as you yet give this gospel message to us. Let it never have to testify against any one of us in the day of days. Oh, hear our prayer. Help us to receive this gospel, to believe it, and to be in instruments in your hand, to pass it on to others. For how many don't know the gospel? Lord, please help us to know it, to love it, and to live it, and to testify of it while we live life's brief earthly journey. Hear our prayer. Forgive all that which is sinful, even in our most holy activities of this morning hour. We ask and pray this all, asking for your blessing on the Sunday school classes and the fellowship, and remember us in your loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.